Joining us on Shoals Sports Talk, professional baseball coach Jerry Weinstein. And he's been doing this for a long time, started out at UCLA. We'll get into all of those different things. Coach, so glad to have you on the show today. How's it going?
Everything's good. Just driving around in New England right now.
Now, you've been a part of the game of baseball for a really long time. Where did your love for the game come from?
Oh, I think probably when, as a young player, probably 7, 8 years old, when I started playing Little League, I had a really, really good, it sounds funny, but I had a really good Little League coach, a guy named Murray Burke, who had just come back from Korea and was really passionate about the game, and I glommed onto that, and that's been the situation ever since.
So did you always know that you wanted to work in professional baseball in some capacity?
Well, I didn't. It wasn't necessarily professional baseball. It was, baseball in general. But I played all sports when I was young, but, the two that I spent my most time playing were football and baseball, and I was not good at either one, and I knew that I would coach someday, and I knew that early on in my career.
Now, you got your career started from what I've done with my research. You started out at UCLA in 1966, and you worked your way up from there. As a young man in 66, what were some of the challenges that you may have faced getting your first job there at UCLA?
Well, I was young and didn't have a lot of information, and I was about to say I was coaching the freshman team, and I was a young graduate at 21, and I wasn't that much older than some of the players, and even though I thought I knew a lot, I didn't know anything.
So when you're there at UCLA, what were some of the things that I guess you would say you learned that maybe you still use today?
Well, I learned you need to be organized and that you really needed to adapt to the individual differences of the athletes.
You can find Coach Weinstein on Twitter at JWeinCatching. You can also go to his website, WeinsteinBaseball.com. Now, you've done some pretty amazing things throughout the course of your career, Coach. You've done some great things with Team USA. You've been the head coach for Team Israel in your career. Are there any good stories that you can share with your time from your time with those national teams?
In 1987, I coached the Pan Am team, and Ron Frazier was the head coach, and we had an outstanding team. Jim Abbott was on that team, and Greg Olson, and Tino Martinez, and a lot of great players. And we're the first college team to play in Cuba, and we were playing the Cuban national team, and you play in a big stadium there, Latino Americano Stadium. And police escort to the stadium, and we get there, and there are like 55,000 people there when we get there. And coach, are we late? He says, no, they're just here to watch batting practice. Well, it's my night to throw batting practice, and they don't have a horseshoe cage. You just throw into open space and no catcher or anything in front of 55,000 people. And we had Frank Thomas was on that team, and Frank, in Cuba, they appreciate good play, whether it's by the Cubans or by anybody. And Frank Thomas must have hit about 21 straight balls out during BP. I mean, I gave up a lot of yardage that day, which was good, but they threw every ball back, and we had an unbelievable game, and we went down there, and I think we split the series with them down there. Nobody beats them down there, but it was a really, really neat experience.
Talking with Jerry Weinstein, professional baseball coach. He's in the Rockies organization right now. Now, in 2017, Coach, you were hired to manage the New Hampshire Yard Goats at the age of 73. Now, seeing your career come full circle had to be a pretty cool thing. Did you approach your time with the Yard Goats any differently than maybe jobs that you had had in the past?
No, I had managed in the Rockies organization for a number of years in Modesto in the California League, and then I had 2 years in the big leagues as a coach, and I was kind of winding down a little bit and spent more time in the Cape, covering the Cape League, and then also managing in Wareham. And then The next year, they needed someone to manage because they promoted a couple guys from the minor leagues to the big leagues, and it happened late, and the farm director asked me if I would manage that team because it was a brand-new facility, and they wanted to get off on the right foot. And so I managed Hartford. That's in the Eastern League. And your question was, did I manage any differently? No. I just manage it based on, obviously, when you work for a team in professional baseball, there's guidelines, and so I follow the Rockies protocol, but again, dealing with the individual players and those types of things are really the key elements in managing anything.
Now, Coach, I'm a baseball lover. I love the game. I always have. So if you'll indulge me for a minute, I want to pick your brain. You're a guy that, from what I've found, you like the analytics. You like the numbers. You like to see what the science is telling you. Was it tough from the beginning when analytics were really heavily introduced into the game for you to accept them? And do you feel like nowadays maybe managers may rely on analytics too much, or are they doing exactly what they should be doing?
Well, I think I was probably ahead of the curve relative to analytics, and I've always, believed that the numbers will better quantify what you're doing and give you reasons to do things, and they don't lie. And I think that we're in a good place right now. I know it's tough on some guys that are historically have not been in that area, but it's time to change, and we're changing for the better. But again, it's not all about the analytics, because the reality is that there are a lot of things that happen on the field in the dugout that don't correlate with the true analytics of the of a big sampling. A small sampling is a little bit different when you're dealing with the human element.
Now, when you take a look at the advanced numbers, there are a lot of people in today's day and age who simply look at the counting stats, numbers of old, and say, that's how I can quantify how good a player is. When you're looking at the advanced numbers, and look, I know that you're looking at them from a different perspective than I am. You have more knowledge than the common man does about the advanced analytics. But for me to go on FanGraphs or Baseball Reference and look at some of these advanced analytics, are there a couple that you look at that tell you more accurately the quality of a player, or is this more hot zones and directional and shifts and stuff like that for you versus the actual quality of a player with XFIP and WAR and all those different things?
Well, I think that there are a lot of stats out there, and there's even in the, if you just take WAR, there's a lot of different ways you can look at WAR. But the fact of the matter is that offensively, it's about hard contact, and so the stat that's critical for me is average exit velocity, because the goal when you go up to the plate is to hit the ball hard. And from the pitching standpoint, again, looking at exit velocity, again, low exit velocity, I look for the stats that really are important to me as an individual. I look at base on balls and strikeouts. If you stay on the positive side of that, on an offensive side and on a pitching side, I think from a team standpoint, you're going to have a championship team. I think on-base percentage is critical. I know that the slug piece of that puzzle is big right now, but getting on base and passing the baton and those things are important. I think what's troubling right now is the number of strikeouts in the game, the number of empty outs, the inability to score runners from third base with less than two outs, about 50% in Major League Baseball right now. Just some of the things that are indicators, not so much of the physical side of the game, but the mental side, the guy's ability to be a good teammate and put the team first and make productive outs and stuff like that. And instead of having the driver out all the time and trying to drive balls out of the ballpark, sometimes you got to take the five iron out and position yourself. And we haven't done a really good job doing that.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see. I know launch angle is really big amongst players right now, and you think back to some of the older days of baseball, guys would choke up with two strikes, just put the ball in play and see what could happen. You see guys like Cody Bellinger, who's a fantastic player. He's going to have the same swing whether he's in a 3-1 count or an 0-2 hole. And I think it's interesting, and I would like to get your standpoint on it. You have a pretty interesting philosophy on hitting. And the reason that I would like to talk about this is we have 17 high schools here in the Shoals area. Two of them just won state championships. So we've got some really high-level baseball being played here. But when you think about hitting, when you're coaching a guy through hitting, what are some of the pointers that you would give him that maybe would translate to our high school players?
Well, number one, launch angle is nothing new. We always talked about launch angle, but we called it, you know, ball flight, hit line drive, and which is a type of ball flight. And, you know, it depends on everybody's got their individual ball flight that's best for their tool set, whether it be a Juan Pierre type guy who can run and is going to be a low line drive, hard ground ball flight most productive for him, or an Adam Dunn guy who's a high fly ball or high line drive type guy, that would be. But you can't artificially produce ball flight. The position of the pitch is going to dictate the ball flight in a lot of situations. But for me, the biggest thing is hit the ball hard. The best stats are hard contact. If you have hard contact, whether it's a ground ball, a line drive, a high line drive, or a fly ball, hard contact produces the best outcome in general. Not always, but in general. And I think that one of the things that's happening today, especially with all the hitting gurus and the internet videos and stuff like that, we're so focused on the body and the mechanics that we lose sight of the ball. And so we're not very good at pitch recognition. Our visual strategies are not very good. And for me, rather than put your hands here, put your feet here, blah, 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 what I'd rather do is have a game speed, game complexity type environment, and then look at the results of the contact and then backwards engineer. And those are the mechanics that individual needs to have. And I think too often we're trying to pigeonhole hitters and players in general in a particular movement pattern, because that's what is supposedly good mechanics. And mechanics are very individualized, and I'm more result-oriented in terms of, and again, I believe in process over outcome. But I think I can better find out what a guy's mechanics are once I see him throw a productive pitch or hit a ball hard, line drive, high line drive, or whatever it happens to be. And then those are his mechanics, and then continue to put him in a drill environment that's going to force him to, maybe it's a constrained environment where he's got to hit the ball in a particular area with a particular ball flight, and then let him organize his body in the way that he's going to accomplish the goal, rather than get so granular and start talking about body parts and things like that.
I would encourage everybody out there to visit WeinsteinBaseball.com. He's got a lot of videos. He's got a baseball blog up there where he talks about hitting. I'm sure you can find a lot of these videos on YouTube as well. And Coach, you've been writing things for quite some time. You've got different books out. I know you've got a catcher package out, all these different things. What I want to ask you is, and being in the Rockies organization, and I've got one or two more questions about that here in a moment, what are some of the things that you're seeing guys getting drafted into the pros, whether it be out of high school or out of college? Are there things that you're seeing that regularly guys are having to work on, whether it be pitchers, whether it be hitters? What are some of the big flaws that you're seeing out of guys coming into the major league level?
Well, in coming into professional baseball, we see the same things that the JV coach sees on his team. You know, and again, a lot of it is the mental preparation, dealing with working through process as a opposed to outcome, having a good routine, just everything, all the things that show up in amateur baseball show up in professional baseball. Dealing with adversity is a big one, because now, you know, all the guys you got hits off in amateur baseball, they're not here anymore. All the guys that got you out, they're all here. And the same thing with the pitchers. The guys you got out, they're not here. The guys that hit you, they're all here. So the competition levels out, and you're playing against equal players and many times better players. So that mindset, mental game process is critical. And I think that's maybe even the biggest adjustment for guys coming into professional baseball, because they're used to having so much success. Now they're dealing with a lot of potholes and speed bumps and a lot of adversity. And and adapting and adjusting is a critical piece of the puzzle, and not getting away from the process that got you to professional baseball.
He's Jerry Wine.
The thing is,
Go ahead.
The one thing is that at every level, the players are stronger and the game is faster and more complex. And so at every level, you're going to have to make an adjustment. And in professional baseball, it's the same thing. Going from a rookie league to a short season A league, or to a low A league, or to a high A league, or double A, there's going to be some regression to the norm. There's going to be some game slippage because the game speeds up and it's more complex. Instead of getting all fastballs and leverage counts, you're getting breaking balls. The quality of the breaking balls are better. The changeups are better. They're able to throw to all different quadrants of the plate. The velocity is better. The movement is later. I mean, everything at every level gets a little bit better, and you have to be ready to adapt and adjust.
You are in the Rockies organization, and you have one of the best players in baseball that you get to see routinely in a guy like Nolan Arenado. When you see these elite players, whether it be Nolan or Manny Machado, Freddie Freeman for the Braves, you know, take your pick, whoever you want to choose, Mike Trout, what is it about those guys that you can pinpoint and say, this is why this individual is better at baseball than, you know, your average player? And that's not to disrespect the average player, but what is it about these elite-level guys that makes them elite? Is it the way that they go about their process?
What's interesting, you should ask that question, because I managed Nolan, I want to say 2009, in Modesto in the Cal Lake. And Nolan was doing the exact same things that he's doing in the big leagues in Modesto. Now, he only had 19 home runs, but he led all of baseball with 120 RBIs. He's got to know, he knows how to get runners in. But it was this. I mean, from day, I had a friend come in and say, "Hey, you got any guys who can play here?" I said, "Yeah, the third baseman. He's going to be a premium big league player." Now, I never thought he would hit 40 home runs. I thought when he grows in, gets his man strength, he's going to hit 30 home runs. But you know, he's got a chance to hit 30 home runs and have 100 RBIs. I mean, the right, just the perfect corner player profile. But he had he's not an elite athlete. He's an elite baseball player, but he's not an elite athlete. Doesn't have a great first step. We spent a lot of time working on his footwork, but he loves to play. He loves to work. He's a great teammate. He has passion for the game. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. We're playing in Lake Elsinore, which is in Southern California, just north of San Diego. It's the farthest team south in the Cal League, and it was a road trip for us from Modesto. So we played a game down there, and that's an area where he's from, and his grandmother, I want to say Cuban, and she invited us, the team, to her house after the game to have empanadas and, you know, a lot of food. And I said, "Yeah, sure, we'd do it." And so after we ate and everything, and Nolan said, "Hey, can I stay at home tonight? I'll just meet you at the ballpark," which he was close. I said, "Sure, no problem. We're hitting it so-and-so." And he gets there, no problem, and has not a Nolan-esque type game. And about 3 weeks later, he says, "You know," he says, when I stayed home that night, he says, "We played wiffle ball all night." So that kind of tells you what kind of gamer he is, you know. And he was a guy that worked, and it's almost you have to say, "Hey, slow down, man, slow down." He was the first guy there, early BP, and then after BP, he'd hit again, and then just before the game, he'd have to get a few swings in to tune it up, and then after the game, he had a bad game, he wanted to get back in the cage. And but it's a lot easier with guys like that to say whoa than giddy up. And he likes the preparation, he loves the competition, he likes winning, he loves the game, he likes his teammates, and that's why he is who he is. Now, certainly, he's gotten a lot bigger and stronger, and he could always throw, and he could always field. It was like every, you know, I mean, you go to home plate and exchange lineups with a manager from the opposing team, and they're always, "Holy cow, your third baseman's unbelievable." And I happened to, after the season, he was in the fall league, and I was there for instruction league, and I'm sitting there with Mike Socha, and we're watching the game, and like it didn't take 5 minutes, and he says, "Hey, tell me about that third baseman." I said, "Hey, you got good eyes?" I said, "He's a phenom, man. He's going to really be good."
He's Jerry Weinstein, and you can follow him on Twitter at JWineCatching. You can also visit his website, WeinsteinBaseball.com. Coach, I have thoroughly enjoyed this. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and I know the draft is coming up here soon, and I know baseball is going to continue going on, so you got to be as happy as a duck in water. This is primetime baseball time, right, Coach?
Absolutely, yeah. We're really looking forward to the draft. I spent all after spring training, I spent the last 6 weeks running around seeing the top amateur catchers in the country and anxious to see where they all fall.
Well, Coach, best of luck to you and the Rockies organization. We appreciate your time, and we'll keep an eye on the Rockies. And like you said, you got a pretty good third baseman there. We'll watch him some too.
Yeah, we got a lot of pretty good players. Hopefully, we'll start playing better. We are right now, and we'll see what happens. Thanks so much, Jordan. Enjoyed it.